This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Aaron, did I hear you correctly?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
There's a bill in Olympia that would ban police ruses?
Well, this one would specifically target ruses that police use in interrogation rooms, apparently.
Ruses?
Yeah.
We're going to ban ruses? Do we know who the sponsor of this bill is?
I'd have to look into that myself. I don't see it here just in the script that I have in front of me, but I can look around for it.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Nicole, I'd like to get the police ruse bill sponsor on the show.
It does look like, though, Public Safety Committee Chair Roger Goodman supports it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Roger will come on with us. Roger comes on every time we ask, doesn't he?
He was on this week.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your boy. Yeah.
Police ruses? And again, that's if the police say something to try to elicit a confession from a criminal or a suspected criminal, correct? Is that what you said?
That's what it would be, yeah.
Ruses.
What world is this? This is crazy. There's going to be no more Dateline anymore. That's what everybody does. That's what all the cops do to get murder confessions.
Yeah. So if somebody kills somebody and they get a confession through a ruse, I don't even hear the word ruse used very often anymore. All right. So in the criminal state of Washington, where we do everything we possibly can to try to get as many criminals walking around free as possible, now we have a bill in Olympia that would ban the police ruse while they try to elicit a confession from a suspect.
Well, it would make their confession. If they confess to murder, they would not be held to that confession if there was a fib told to get them there. That's insane.
It is insane, but our state's insane.
Unreal.
We've gone absolutely stark raving mad. Well, we got to get Roger Goodman on next week.
Okay.
After we had him on early this week, I had so many cops who texted me and emailed me, who listened to the interview. That interview made the circles made the rounds in cop circles.
And because he claimed that they supported him. And the first bill, and that's not true.
Well, he also claimed that the state patrol doesn't call off chases now. And I heard from a bunch of state patrol troopers who said he has no idea what he's talking about. That, yes, we have had to cut off or not initiate chases when people go flying by us at 100 miles an hour. We're not allowed to. And here's what I want to know. Why are we introducing new police reform bills when they have to fix last year's police reform bills? We can't chase a suspect of murder if they're running away from where somebody has just been shot. A police dog, or they can't take down a guy with a machete with bean bags because they've banned the gun that shoots bean bags, and a police dog ends up cut to death by a machete. And the crazy man who killed the dog ends up getting shot and killed by the police. And Roger Goodman's bill last year is why that dog and that crazy guy are dead today. And he says, well, we're going to fix my bill from last year. Well, why'd you pass a flawed bill? And why before you pass last year or before you fix last year's insane bills, why are we passing a new one or trying to that would ban police ruses?
So your partner in the next room said you raped that woman. Okay, if he told you, yes, he saw it. I did it. Hey, your partner never said that. Oh, well, confession doesn't matter now because it was a ruse.
I am serious. We are in a stark raving loony bin of a state right now. We have violent crime through the roof. We got, how about this kid last night? So they arrested a 14-year-old boy. This is down in Renton. He, according to the charging documents, they believe this 14-year-old kid, in the afternoon, 5:40 in the afternoon on Wednesday, they believe he's been charged with shooting and murdering a 54-year-old man outside of a convenience store. The 50-year-old guy's laying dead on a sidewalk. Somebody saw this kid get into an SUV, and so detectives were able to identify the kid. And not only do they charge him with murdering this 54-year-old guy, but they have also charged him with another murder that happened in Renton last year. So if the kid's guilty, two murders by age 14. Now, what are we going to do with him? Well, no youth jail. According to Dow Constantine, according to this loony no youth jail mentality, the kid shouldn't even go to jail for killing two people if he's guilty. Shouldn't even go to jail. That's what the no youth jail zealots believe. And if they somehow get a double murder conviction, they're not going to try him as an adult. And so they'll put him in juvie, which is like going to the boys' club, boys and girls' club after school. Juvie is so soft on these kids. And they'll put him there until he's 21, and then he can come out and start killing people again. And Dow Constantine, what are you doing, Dow? About these 14-year-olds who the police and prosecutors believe are killing multiple people. What in the world are you doing, Dow Constantine?
We're improving public safety and public trust by investing in gun violence prevention and aid to victims of domestic violence and other crimes, and collaborating with communities to create real safety.
Oh, yes. Yes. We are really safe. Dow Constantine is creating real safety. He's reducing gun violence, even though I know we had a record number of shootings in King County last year, record number of murders, and we're on a record pace in the early part of 2022. But Dow Constantine's reducing gun violence in his fantasy world. He's going to run for president when Inslee's done, or not president, for governor. When Inslee's done, Dow Constantine's going to run for governor. That's why he has to have King County detectives drive him to the bars when he meets with female staffers. Because he doesn't want to catch a DUI. According to my sources within the sheriff's department, Dow Constantine doesn't want to catch a DUI because it would hurt his gubernatorial aspirations. So that's why we spend $400,000 a year so Dow Constantine can get driven to the bars at night. Hope he wears a mask. Hope he has a shower curtain. Police ruses are going to get banned. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We're in an unbelievable state. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let me get into the Fastest 15. We have a new mascot in the crosshairs, and it's right here in our part of the world. So, as you know, Washington has gotten rid of the Redskins. Cleveland is getting rid of the Indians for their baseball team. And now, the next mascot to go, the Vikings. Thought we had music here, Andrew. Do we have music?
Yes.
No. I thought we had Viking music, didn't we?
That's my bad. Yeah. Hang on one second. That's okay. All my fault.
Okay, here. Let me set it up again. Washington got rid of the Redskins. Cleveland got rid of the Indians. And now at Western Washington University, the next mascot that must be gotten rid of, the Vikings. Is this really Viking music?
Yeah.
Sounds more Native American to me. Is this Viking music?
Yeah, it says right here, Viking music.
Is that the music the Vikings did?
I'm not a Viking, so I wouldn't know.
Huh. Is that a flugelhorn? I would think that Viking music would have lots of flugelhorns.
I'm not prepared for this pop quiz, Dory. I just... I got Viking music, that's all I got right now.
Okay. Nicole, does this sound like Viking music to you?
I'm not sure that I've ever heard Viking music.
Huh. Anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked here. No, and plus, I think it's a fine music choice, Andrew. But at Western Washington University, they are working to get rid of the Viking mascot. Let me explain. So they, according to a board of trustees up at Western, they wanted to remove the names of four buildings on campus. One of them was Huxley College of the Environment, because they say T.H. Huxley had white supremacist values that dehumanize and harm many members of the Western community. And then the other building where they must change the name is the one that is named after the school's mascot, the Viking Student Union. A strong majority of Western Washington's University Legacy Review Task Force. And by the way, if somebody tries to appoint you to a Legacy Review Task Force, explain to them that you're going to decline because we only have a limited amount of time on this earth. And if you waste any part of your life on a Legacy Review Task Force, you are not taking full advantage of this precious gift of time that God has given us. Anyway, the Legacy Review Task Force has recommended that trustees remove Viking from the Viking Union building. I suppose it will just be called Union. The reason is because the Viking mascot at Western Washington University is identifying with a figure that is potentially exclusive on the basis of both ethnicity and gender, according to the task force report. And so, since Vikings are male, and they're also Scandahoovian, as we called ourselves growing up in Ballard. Yeah, in Ballard, my mom would drive down to Shulshul, and I would always salute the statue of Leif Erikson that they have down at Shulshul. And now, of course, I'd be kicked out of society for paying any kind of a tribute to the Leif Erikson statue. According to the report, the task force found names idolizing conquest as out of line with the university's contemporary values around honoring local indigenous communities. Task force members who did not recommend renaming in this report proposed the building name be evaluated alongside the mascot by a separate committee. Yes, that's what we need at Western Washington University. More committees to examine nonsense. They said that they were afraid that some students would feel dehumanized by continuation of the Viking mascot, particularly non-Scandinavian women. Is this Viking music, Tiff?
This is Avicii, who is from that area of the world.
Who, yeah, it's who?
Who is Avicii. It?
Avicii. Avicii. I've heard of Avicii.
No, remember, he died a couple of years ago, really sad. But he's a Swedish DJ. That's how he got his start.
Wait, time out. Avicii died?
Yes, we had a whole, like, we talked a lot about Avicii.
Nicole, I was on a roll with my whole Viking topic, and going well.
Now but he just died, and we announced it on it. We broke that news. We had a whole conversation.
But now you've just
We're both really big fans. I know.
You know that I forget everything.
know. But he's Scandinavian, so I thought this would fit better because we know we've heard this.
It's, break me up before you go-go,
yes.
Right?
No, right. Something like that, but yeah.
That's close enough.
All-time favorites.
Break me up before you go-go. Wait, what's it called? What's the name of the song? Anyway, let me get back to the Viking thing. Crying out loud. So, yes, non-male, non-Scandinavians feel dehumanized by the Viking mascot at Western Washington University. And let me just give a message, because I have the wisdom of the years now. But for everybody who feels dehumanized by the Western Washington University mascot, it is not a Viking who is making you feel dehumanized. It is you. You are making yourself by conjuring up some phony story of dehumanization because they call themselves the Vikings. And if you want to ban the Viking, also you need to ban yourself, because you are a far greater dehumanizing factor to you than the Viking is. So anyway, in 2000, this is the second time they've tried to remove the Viking mascot. In 2015, they wanted to scrap it because it was hyper masculine and aggressive. Oh, yes, we don't want our sports teams to be aggressive.
What's Minnesota going to do?
Well, yeah, we got to get rid of it. What's Notre Dame going to do with the Fighting Irish? What about the school where I coach, the Shorecrest Scots, the Highlanders? Okay, anyway, and by the way, when Western Washington University was founded, it was that part of Bellingham up there. They were they had more Scandinavian people than any other ethnicity, hence the Vikings.
All right. My people. That's where we're from. That's where my people came.
That's right. Yeah, you're Scandinavian.
Icelandic,
You're from Hwatton
County. My grandma.
County.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the Vikings got to go at Western Washington University. Do we have any Western Washington grads? Are you down with this removal of the Viking mascot, so that you can get more woke? Text me, please, at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. How did Vici die? I don't remember any of this.
Oh, overdose.
Oh, man. Those rock singers. Okay. All right, that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Now I'm sad. We're going to check the news for you, and then a state legislator says it's time to ban all these schools who are making kids sit outside to eat lunch. Could they really ban that at the state level? We'll talk to him about it next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I told the story yesterday right before my show started. It was pouring down rain in my neighborhood, and my wife and my dog Buddy, they came back from a walk and they were both soaked. But my wife reported at the elementary school just a couple blocks from our house, they were all set for the kids to come out at lunchtime. They had the 5-gallon blue buckets all set up, properly spaced for the children to sit on silently while they eat their lunch. And if one Washington State representative gets his way, he would not allow this anymore in the state. Republican Representative Chris Corey has a bill that would put a stop to all this nonsense of kids eating outside in inclement weather. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Representative, always good to talk with you. Appreciate you coming on with me.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell me about your bill. What are you proposing here?
So this was in response to the stories we're hearing across the state, and now, unfortunately, across the nation, of schools in an effort to, I guess, prevent the spread of COVID, forcing their kids to eat outside in cold weather climates that you probably shouldn't have your kids outside eating lunch in. I wish, you know, I'm a conservative. I don't feel like we need to legislate everything to death. But when you've got something that's so insane as having kids eat in 30 and 40 degree weather, I think we need to step up as a state and say, no, you've gone too far. So what this bill would do, basically say, if it's below 50 or 60 degrees, you can't have your kids eating outside. Now, I've talked with people, I've already had some really good conversations about, you know, making some things optional for kids and whatnot. But the underlying premise is we've got to establish some boundaries that say young kids, you know, they shouldn't be eating outside. We can safely feed them indoors without fear of transmitting COVID.
Well, I mean, this whole thing, it's all so silly. And yes, I've chronicled many of these stories, the elementary school in the Lake Washington School District, where they said our average temperature is going to be 38 degrees this week. So we're going to be eating outside. And what I said is, if a parent sent their kids outside in 38 degree weather every single day to eat lunch, the neighbors would call DSHS and somebody would come and do a wellness check on those children. And yet when the government does the exact same thing in the name of this COVID mania, we're all supposed to say, oh yeah, that's perfectly fine. This is all quite bizarre to me, Representative.
I agree. And I think we've put school districts in a really weird position because we have the, you know, OSPI, which is the state superintendent, has really said, do as I say, you've got to do everything. And if you don't do it my way, we're going to cut funding off it. And so I think a lot of these school districts are, for lack of a better term, living in fear, right? Because they don't want to get in trouble. And I think we need to empower our school districts to make good decisions based on their needs locally. But we also need to set some parameters that say, you know, you can't do stuff that is really not going to actually make the kids safer and potentially exposes them to more harm than good.
Well, that's what I'm most focused on, is the harm part, because the kids are not in any danger from COVID or from especially the Omicron variant. They're in no danger. Everybody tries to dispute that. It's indisputable. They're not in any danger. I get all these people who say, oh, no, look at all the kids in the hospital. These are kids who are in the hospital for other reasons. And yes, they also have COVID, but that's not why they're in the hospital. Here's what I'm concerned about, Chris. What are we doing psychologically to our kids? There's a school, Queen Anne Elementary. They sent out a memo and they said, if you can't sit undercover because it's a driving sideways rain, parents can fill out an eating indoors permission slip and it must be silent. The kids can't talk. They can take down their mask to take a bite. They have to put the mask back up to chew and swallow and then repeat. What are we doing to our kids psychologically? They can't see other human faces. They have to sit. They can't have any normal interaction with their friends. This is all, it's not just, you know, wrong in my view. This is sick what we're doing to our kids.
Yeah, I'm with you. And in a lot of ways, I worry about, you know, just the fear we're putting on these kids, the, you know, especially not scientifically based fear and what kind of long-term ramifications that's going to have for us. I mean, we, you know, we as a legislature have talked a lot about the learning loss piece and, you know, the other aspects of the education, but there's so much more when it comes to the mental health and the emotional, you know, well-being of these kids. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got kids sitting in a classroom together learning. There's no reason why they can't sit inside and eat lunch and then go out and play if, the, you know, if there's some recess time or not. But you're right. I think we're doing a lot of things that are going to have negative ramifications for our kids for you know, a long time coming.
You say things that are going to have, but it's not just something that's going to manifest itself in the future. It's right now. I mean, our Surgeon General says we have a mental health crisis with children in America. Suicide ideation has skyrocketed. It's twice as high for African-American kids than for white kids. We have child psychiatrists who are booked out for months and months and months and months because so many kids are suffering severe psychological damage. And when the cure is much worse than the disease, and that's what's happening with our children right now. And so I know that this is kind of a fun little topic, kids sitting on buckets and the bill you're introducing, but I'm deadly serious about this. I think that it is twisted what adults are doing to children in the name of some phony protection from COVID.
I agree. Listen, I'm a parent of three children. We have made the decision to homeschool our kids so we can make the choices about them. And, you know, we've taught them, you know, to have a normal amount of respect, I guess, or, you know, fear of this virus, which means,
yes,
you know, proper hand washing and, you know, making sure you stay home when you're sick and those things. But my kids are not living under this guise that there is this imminent threat that's going to kill them anytime they go out. And I think that, you know, if we're going to continue to do that, again, you're right, we're going to have kids that are going to have all these mental health problems. And it's, you know, it's just, yeah, it's not good for them. And there's got to be a better way for us to manage a virus that, fortunately, thank God, has a very minimal impact on kids overall.
Right.
And, you know, find ways to protect those who don't have that same level of protection, the elderly, people with comorbidities, those types of situations.
Absolutely. Yep. No, I agree with you on all of that. Yeah, I believe in the vaccine for the people who need it. I'm just against a government mandate. But this is about adults using children for their agenda to try to hammer home some, you know, ridiculous point. Okay, final question. We just have a couple moments left. You are, as you said, a conservative in the Washington State Legislature. Does your bill have any chance at all? Because Democrats are trying to push the fear as much as possible right now.
I think it does have a chance. I've been trying to, you know, reach out to my colleagues who sit in education to see if we can get a hearing on it, just to have that discussion. I mean, we're talking about other pieces, you know, in this crisis that's causing mental health issues and all those other things. So if it's not, you know, if it's not this bill, we're going to find a way to work this into other conversations on related bills that do have, you know, hearings and, you know, testimony. So, yeah, so we can bring that up.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're getting the conversation going. It's House Bill 1976. Chris Corey, it would prevent public schools from requiring students to eat and drink outside the school buildings. Chris, keep up the good work. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Thanks, Dory.
All right. State Representative Chris Corey joining us. What do you think about all this? You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. So I hope that Bruce Harrell is successful as Seattle mayor, but he's done a couple of things now. You know, he hires the street czar, Andre Taylor's sister, as the new street czar. And that doesn't make any sense to me at all when the last one was such a failure. And then he extended the eviction ban. And we've talked about that before, that the eviction ban is, well, because of the pandemic, we won't allow landlords to kick out deadbeat tenants. Now, I say deadbeat for a very specific reason, because there are some people who maybe have lost their work and deserve to be protected. But then there are some people who are deadbeat simply for being a deadbeat. And that's what we're starting to see more and more of. I had one landlord who has a building on Capitol Hill, and she was telling me that their profit margin on their investment now is about 2%. And she said, you know, if we had, instead of buying an apartment building 8 years ago, if we'd put it in, you know, the index fund, they could have made about 20% a year. But they're just barely breaking even. And part of it is, she was telling me they got one guy who, they have a 25-pound dog limit. She says he has about a 50-pound pit bull. All the tenants in the building believe that this guy steals packages because they're always being stolen, all the other tenants' packages, that he refuses to pay. And the reason, first of all, I think an eviction moratorium is unconstitutional. The United States Constitution prohibits the government from taking your private property without just compensation. And that is what Jay Inslee and Bruce Harrell and Joe Biden have been doing. They've been taking the property of all these landlords. But here's my main point. This is one I rarely hear discussed. There are very few reasons in, what's today, January 14th, 2022, to not have an income. You know, the unemployment rate is almost where it was pre-pandemic. But if you want a job, you can go get a job within 2 hours. I just saw Taco Bell is paying $20 an hour now for starting wage, $20 an hour. And if you can't make it on a fast food $20 an hour starting rate, and that's for their Issaquah
Taco Bell. And that's Taco Time, Dory. And it's all Northwest.
Or Taco Time. Taco that's what time. I meant. I knew that. Thank you.
It's Northwest Taco Time. So it's all around here, I believe.
Yeah, well, it's the Issaquah restaurant where they have two of them, where they're starting at $20 an hour now, and they say they have 30 positions. Now, if you can't make it on $20 an hour, then you know what you do? Instead of relying on government to steal your landlord's property from them, you go get a second job. Where is it written that people can only work 40 hours a week? Where is that written? I have not worked 40 hours a week since I was 15 years old. And I swear to you that that is true. Every single day of my life since I was 15, or every single week of my life, has been, and I'm not saying this out of pride, because I know that there are, you know, people who just want a work-life balance. I do. I have that. But I've worked at least 60 hours a week for every week of my life, except when I've been on vacation, since I was 15 years old. I don't understand why people think that they only can work 40 hours. If you can't make ends meet, go get a second job. But every single business that I have seen has help wanted signs. And there's no reason, Bruce Harrell, for an eviction moratorium. All you're doing is you are feeding into this deadbeat mentality of people who would rather have government steal somebody else's property and give it to them instead of going out and earning their own keep. And this is a plague in America, because there are few things that instill the kind of pride, the kind of self-worth, the potential for getting yourself out of poverty, for getting from the lowest quintile to the next up, or the next up, and getting to the middle class. If you're in the middle class, you can work your way to being, you know, very comfortable. But you got to outwork the competition. Instead, government saying, no, just steal other people's packages and we'll steal your landlord's property. Bruce Harrell, big mistake with this eviction moratorium. Tenants, go get a job. Okay, check the news for you, and then the big lead of two is coming up next.